The text is the gospel reading from St. Mark. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Here ends our text. So, if we can learn a lot from a demon, why does Jesus stop him from speaking in the text? Well, you'll see shortly. The demon is right about several things. Jesus is of Nazareth, a town only 15 miles away from Capernaum. If the people were so inclined, they could go to Nazareth and speak to family and friends about Jesus. They would hear stories about how an ordinary man grew up having mother, siblings, and a trade taught to him by his stepfather, Joseph. The demon is right. Jesus is of Nazareth. The demon's also right when he says Jesus is the Holy One of God. Note the article. Jesus isn't a Holy One of God. He's the one and only Holy One of God. So, though Jesus is flesh and blood like everyone else in that synagogue, he's also true God. Though he looks no different than you or me, he is Lord, God, Almighty. The demon is right about who Jesus is, true man and true God, and he's right about what Jesus came to do, destroy demons. 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. In Hebrews 2:14, he partook of flesh and blood that through death he might destroy the one who had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Jesus is not here to teach the people how to be better. He's here to destroy demons. Jesus is not here as an example of how to live a godly life. He's here to destroy demons. Jesus is not here to show people how to get along. He's here to destroy demons. So you can learn a lot from a demon. But the people in the text could not because they don't know a demon was speaking. Here's the scene. It's not just a plain Sabbath day. The Greek is plural, denoting a festival Sabbath. Jesus is teaching and the people are dumbstruck because he didn't teach in the usual rabbinic way, citing other rabbis. He spoke as one with authority. Suddenly, one of the hearers, the insert translates man, but the Greek is person. It could have been a woman. Suddenly, one of the hearers started shrieking. You see this person? He or she was in the synagogue. He or she didn't rush in all of a sudden. He or she was already inside listening as he or she had it many other times. But the demon that he or she carried had never before heard anything in that synagogue worth shrieking about. The demon could listen to the unauthoritative droning of scribes and the moralistic stories of rabbis. But when Jesus spoke, the demon shrieked. But again, the people don't know it's a demon speaking. This is Joe or Joan, their next door neighbor, shrieking. Their kids go to school with his or her kids. Now maybe Joe or Joan, demon possessed as he or she is, regularly went off on sudden rants. Maybe he or she was known as a bit off. In which case, you have a coup declaring that Jesus of Nazareth is the Holy One of God. This would be akin to having lobbyist Jack Abramoff, who recently pled guilty to bribing public officials, endorse you as a candidate for public office. So if the people don't know a demon is speaking, it appears that only a kook would follow Jesus. But what if the congregation thinks Joe or Joan is not a kook, but one of them? That's how the demon speaks. What do you want with us? And then followed those words that surely must have scared the congregation to the core. Have you come to destroy us? Now, if this is next door neighbor Joe or Joan, member of the PTO with you, whom you've known all your life, he or she is one of you. And suddenly this normal man or woman is shrieking that Jesus has come to destroy you. These people of Capernaum couldn't learn anything from this demon as he spoke, because they don't know it's a demon speaking. You and I do. And the Holy Spirit has preserved this account so we can learn from it. We can learn that though people are often blind to God when he wraps himself in ordinary human things, demons never are. Check other accounts of demons in the New Testament. They all see that ordinary-looking Jesus of Nazareth is the Holy One of God. His flesh and blood does not fool them as it did humans. In Nazareth, the people also testified to the authority of the words of Jesus, but they rejected him there because they knew his mother, his brothers, and sisters. Demons never did that. They didn't do it then, and they don't do it now. You know how vampires are burned by holy water and cower at the sight of a crucifix? Well, there's fantasy here, but there's truth. The waters of baptism, not because they are holy in themselves, but because the holy word of God is joined to them, the waters of baptism do drive demons out. Luther's order of baptism retained the exorcism to show this fact. And while the crucifix itself has no superpower, the reality it points to sure does. Listen to what Colossians 2 says. God made us alive together with Jesus, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of death that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in it. Rulers and authorities are demons. Christ disarmed them and put them to open shame, triumphing over them by the cross. Demons have an answer for every positive word you utter. Demons have an answer for every new attempt you make to change. Demons have an answer for every promise you make to do better. But demons have no answer to the cross. When you take comfort in what Jesus did on the cross, when what Jesus did there is applied to you by the words of absolution, the demons must run. What humans only know by faith, demons know by sight. Jesus, wrapped in flesh and blood, growing up in the usual way in Nazareth for 30 years, didn't fool this demon. As soon as he heard him, he couldn't stand it. And so he made his victim shriek. So even as angels and archangels recognize who is here under ordinary bread and wine, so do the demons. Even as the angels and archangels worship and adore the Christ present here under such mean things, the demons do the opposite. Luther wrote of how the most vile and disgusting thoughts come to people around Holy Communion. The presence of the Holy One again on earth drives demons into a frenzy, because even though Jesus looks weak in bread and wine, even as he did in flesh and blood, the demons know better. So you can learn a lot from a demon. But the demons couldn't put it all together. The demons recognized that Jesus was both true man and true God, but they couldn't put together what that really meant for them. They couldn't see that it was because Jesus was both true man and true God that he would be able to destroy the works of the devil and them while saving us. The Hebrew passage I read earlier said that the devil held us in bondage all our days through the fear of death. You know this fear. It's a creeping realization that you can't live forever in this flesh and blood. Your clock is rapidly running, digitally counting down to the zero hour of death. How come the devil could hold us in bondage by death? What gave him that right? Well, God's holy law and our unholy sins. God had promised that the person who sins dies. From the moment Adam sinned, we were sinners, and death passed from Adam to us as surely as his DNA did. Our sins and God's law gave the devil free access to heaven. You see this in Job. Satan appears in heaven with the holy angel, and no one throws him out. You see this in Zechariah. Satan stands side by side with the holy angel of the Lord. You see this in the book of Revelation. The devil is described as the one who accuses our brothers day and night before God. God couldn't throw the devil out of heaven because the devil was right. We are guilty of all manner of sins. Not a day goes by, not a moment goes by, that we are not guilty of sin. All our thoughts are soiled with sin, so the words and the actions that come from those thoughts are nothing but sin. God would be unjust if he threw the devil out of his court. The devil has a case against us. As long as God's law was not kept, Satan could accuse us before God of breaking it. As long as the punishments the law required were not carried out against us, Satan has a right to demand that they be. Enter the God-man, Jesus of Nazareth. He's true man, so he's under the same commandments that we are. But as true God, he is able to keep them perfectly. None of his thoughts were soiled with sin, so all of his words and deeds were holy. But the just judgments of the law that God had promised would be carried out against all sinners had to still be carried out. Enter the God-man, Jesus. He is true man, so he could bleed, he could cry, he could suffer, and he could die under all of the punishments demanded by God's law. But as true God, his suffering and pain has eternal value for all flesh and blood people. The demon knew correctly that Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy One of God, was there to destroy him. What the demon did not realize is that Jesus would do that by allowing himself to suffer and die at their hands on the cross. By allowing that, Jesus fulfilled the law of God and so took the sword out of the devil's hand. The devil can't accuse us of breaking a law that has been fully kept by a man in our place. Nor can the devil demand we pay for breaking the law when Jesus has already paid the bill in full. That's the most important thing to learn from demons. They are subject to Jesus and to those baptized into him or bodied and bloodied to him. There is no law that the demon can point to that Jesus has not kept for us. No matter what the demon says, no punishment or suffering we go through can be in payment for our sins, since Jesus paid that debt already. And there is no death that they try to scare us into slavery with that Jesus has not already died for us. You can learn a lot from a demon, and even more from the one who conquered them. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes